that's right. Good morning, Greenwood. Hey, do you know we have an election tomorrow? That's right. We'll be voting for to fill the Senate 4 seat, which was former Billy O'Dell's seat, which has been vacated, as we all know, and now we need to have someone in that seat. We do have 5 candidates, and we have put out to have them all on the air. So far, we have 3 of the 5 on the air with us, and this morning, we have Representative Mike Gambrell. How you doing this morning?
Doing good, Ann. Hope you're doing well.
We are doing very well here in Greenwood. Now, let's see. You are in the House of Representatives. You've been there for, what, almost 10 years?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in my 10th year this year.
That's right. So, just out of curiosity, what made you want to go to the dysfunctional Senate?
Trying to help them. Senator O'Dell and I were good friends, and we had kind of had this conversation for several years, and we certainly never thought it would happen this way. I would like to go to the Senate because you can do a little more for your constituents and you have more power over appointments and also cabinet nominations and a little more leeway. And you've got 46 in the Senate versus 124 in the House. So I think it allows me to do a little more for my constituency. And also, I've kind of developed a reputation in the House. I'm not a real showy kind of guy. I'm not going to be the one that's going to be looking for the TV camera, the radio mic all the time. I kind of get a reputation as working behind the scenes to try to get things done. And I know all the senators, and they know me. So if I'm fortunate enough to be elected to the Senate, I won't have to introduce myself to anybody. They'll all know me, and experience counts.
Correct. Now, just for the record, when if you should be so lucky to get this seat, then what happens with your seat?
Okay, filing for my seat is open now, and filing will close March 30th at noon, as all state races are open right now.
There will be.
There'll be an election for my seat, just like there will for the next term of the Senate seat.
So your seat would be left open then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. There would be some folks file, I'm sure, between now and March 30th, and they would participate in the primary on June the 14th, I think it is.
Right, but we wouldn't have any special election for your seat.
No, not aware of any, because what would happen, Ann, is if I'm fortunate enough to come out ahead tomorrow, even though there's not Democrats filed, they still have to hold the date for a general election, I think, which is around May the 17th. And whoever wins tomorrow would not actually be seated until the Tuesday after that. So it would be the end of May before we would be seated in the Senate.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
just for the record, I'm a little confused here then. Why are we doing this since the session ends on June 30th?
Well, I agree. I've asked that question myself. But state law says if you've got an opening more than 120 days before the general election, which would have been in November, you have to have a special election. And I asked the same question. Why didn't they just keep it vacant and we all run in the June primary instead of having a special election and save the money?
Right, because that becomes pretty expensive. Now, you're on the House Ethics Committee, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on it. I'm on labor, commerce, and industry.
House Ethics. What can you tell us about what's happening there? Do you believe that the Senate and the House should have control over their own issues that happen there, or should it be a separate outside of that?
I would like to see it be a separate outside entity, and the reason it's set up like it is, it goes back to the state constitution has actually set it up that way. We've passed, I think, 12 ethics reforms, pieces of legislation separately in the House, which I voted for every one of them. And then we passed one kind of omnibus ethics bill and took them all into consideration and put them in one. And, of course, I voted for that. But I'd have no problem with it being an outside body looking at it. But the reason it's set up like it is, it goes back to the original Constitution.
What do you think about politics today, Mike? I mean, you know, we're of course talking about a local race here, but on the national level, we've seen things totally change on politics.
Yes, ma'am. I remember when I first ran back in 06, we more or less just ran, you know, the candidates faced off about the issues and that sort of thing. What's changed in politics now is it's gotten more personal, and I don't think that's a good thing. And also a lot of outside special interest groups have gotten involved in South Carolina politics. Everybody's heard of, you know, the names and everything, but that's what bothers us. You know, it's kind of frustrating for us as legislators. We come down and do the very best job we can do, and then all of a sudden some group from outside our state, like from Alexandria, Virginia, or from Washington, D.C., starts making phone calls against you, and they pick out one little snippet of one thing you've done and turn it and make it look like you're just the worst person that ever lived. And unfortunately, our society's kind of got to the point to where they actually take some of that as truth. That's how it's changed. It's got a lot more personal, a lot more, I guess, feral, I guess you'd say. But the biggest thing that's happened in South Carolina politics is the outside groups that have become involved in our system.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think anytime you're doing pretty good, somebody wants to knock you off, right?
Well, yes, ma'am. It seems to be that way. Seems to be that way. It sure does. I've had some attacks on me and for things that, like, really?
Yeah. Now, how do you feel about term limits?
And I look at it like this. We have term limits. In the House of Representatives, we run every 2 years. And I put my faith in the people, in the constituents that vote for us. If we're not doing the job we're doing, they'll bring us home. They'll take care of the term limit question. If we're not doing what we're supposed to do, they'll vote us out the next election.
Well, I think there's two sides to that, though, Mike. You know, the other thing is that just like everybody gets very comfortable, and I think that nobody likes change, really, and if somebody's doing an okay job, they stay with it.
Yeah, I think you're right, but when it goes back to, once again, you know, it's the people's choice. And lots of times I just think we underestimate our folks back home. They know. You know, they know if we're accessible. They know if we're open to what, you know, their concerns and their questions. And I'd rather put my faith in the folks back home.
Okay, so you would not be for term limits?
No, ma'am.
No, you would not. Okay. All right. Other things that I really wanted to ask you about was the South Carolina Department of Transportation.
Yes, you believe
that we should that it should be under the executive branch?
The only problem I have with it being under the executive branch, I realize it's one person making the decision, but I'm a firm believer that right now it's under the legislature and the commission, and you got 170 people in the House and the Senate. I'm of the belief that 170 set of eyes are better looking at something than one set of eyes. I think, you know, the problems we've had in state government have come from the agencies that are under that branch. But, you know, that's neither here. As long as the appropriate checks and balances are in place, it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
So you don't have a problem being under the executive branch?
No, ma'am.
You don't. Okay. So how are, you know, there's been a lot written, there's been a lot going on. As far as how we fund the roads long term, I know the Senate has said $400 million this year. It can be up for negotiation next year. That's a drop in the bucket as far as how we're going to get anywhere with fixing our roads and bridges. Would you see a gas tax as a possibility? I know Governor Haley has said no way, but what do you think?
I don't know if the gas tax is the answer. I think there is an answer to ongoing funding. And I think it may involve some fee regulations or even some bonding issues to try to get us on out beyond the 1 year, because there's no way we can sustain $400 million a year out of state budget, you know, for our roads. We've got to come up with some kind of dedicated funding. And, you know, personally, I think everything's on the table as long as it doesn't put an undue burden on our citizens. I look at my example. I run a small business. I run a small garbage business. And I've got four big trucks on the road every day. Well, I should pay more to help keep up the roads than my parents, who are 82 years old, and probably go to church, the bank, out to eat, the grocery store every year, you know, every week. You know, it should be a user type fee, I think.
Well, then that sounds like a gas tax, Mike.
Well, it does, and I think it'll figure into it, but I don't think I'm on the understanding that we're going to have something come up in the state. I'm on my way to Columbia today. I understand that there is a program worked out for this year's budget to address that issue that does not involve a gas tax, but it gives us a sustainable, dedicated stream of revenue for roads and bridges.
And if we can work that out
without a gas tax, I'll be wholeheartedly behind it.
Well, like, what are they talking about?
Talking about doing some things with DMV, I'm not privy to the entire thing. We've got a meeting this morning where they're going to present it to us, but they're talking about doing some other things as far as state agencies and put out cutting. But I hope it's going to be an equitable plan that we can all get behind.
Well, I know there had been talk about charging more fees for more expensive vehicles, more expensive boats, and this type of thing.
Yes, ma'am. What you need to do in South Carolina, you pay $300. A sales tax is capped at $300, whether you're buying a $5,000 car or a $50,000 car, and that's just not fair. In the same way with boats, you know that thing. I think Georgia and North Carolina may have theirs on a. But some of them raised it, and some of them's got it on a percentage basis. But that's got to be looked at.
Don't you kind of feel that a gas tax covers people coming into the state? It covers our resident. It covers anybody that uses. I really don't understand where we have one of the lowest gas taxes around. Why there is such resistance to the gas tax?
Yes, ma'am. Gas tax would be fair because the House version that we passed 2 years ago, if you drove a car that got 22 miles to the gallon, it would, and you drove 11,000 miles a year, it would cost you about $48 more per year.
Mm-hmm.
But and the good thing about all the trucks and the traffic we see, like on Interstate 85 and Interstate 95, those vehicles would pay like almost a third of what it would cost to get our roads and bridges back up to what they need to be.
And they are the heavy users.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
They are. They use more than we do. And that's why I say that something's got to be based to address that, because if we leave that out, we can't put the burden solely on South Carolinians.
Correct. And that really what you're just saying, I think that might be a good addendum, you know, adjusting some of these fees. But it certainly can't. We've let our roads go too far.
That's right. That's right. What happened about 20 years ago, there was a individual over at DOT. There was maintenance money set aside, and then there was money for building new roads. What happened was about 20 years ago, they took the maintenance money, diverted it to nothing but building new roads. Well, we built a bunch of new roads, and now what's happened, that's been 20 years ago, the new roads we built back then are starting to get in bad shape, and the roads that have been neglected are in terrible shape.
Exactly. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to address with you is the future of redoing our income tax, the tax structure here. Even though I know you say that the taxes are low here across the country, is we've never redone our tax structure here, and every year there seems to be a reason not to do it. It's always an election year, or there's just not the will.
Yeah. I think it's got to be looked at. We've got to collapse some brackets. We've got to make it a more fair and equitable system. Like you say, it's been in force for too long, and the House has passed several tax reform measures, and I've tried to support every one of those, but unfortunately they don't get very far across the aisle.
And that's the place you want to go, right?
Yes, ma'am. I want to go try to help. Well, I know what we've got done in the House, and I want to see that try to get done in the Senate.
Okay, well, good luck as far as that goes. Now, if you are so elected, I know you list that you want to help veterans, you want to help education. I mean, you're trying to cover all the bases here, Mike. But what really, you've got to have something that is really your passion or something you'd really like to see.
Yes, ma'am. My passion is constituent service. It comes down to one-on-one. And you know, everybody asks me every year before the legislative session starts, they say, what's your number one goal? And every year it's the same. It's constituent service. That's the one thing Mike Gambrill has got control over and can fix. You know, if you call me with a problem or an issue with state government or with an agency, I can get you an answer. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not the answer you want to hear, but it'll be the correct answer. And what I like to do, that's the one thing, you know, as far as roads, bridges, education, and economic development, I got to have a lot of people to go along with me on that one. But constituent service is the one thing that I can control.
What do you think is, since you're basically going to be in the House for the rest of the session, what do you think the big thing is going to come out of the House this year?
I think our version of a version of the roads bill is going to come out. I think we're once again going to deal with the we're dealing with the budget this year, this week, and then, like I say, I think those are the two biggest things that we hear back home.
Okay, and as I guess what I'm going to say now is, now Mike, you can talk to our audience out here and tell them why they should elect you to Senate 4 seat and why they need to be out there voting tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. Tomorrow's a special election. We're the only thing on the ballot, and turnout is going to be the key. You must make your voice heard. I think experience counts. And I've had 10 years' experience of trying to help the constituents of House District 7, and I want to assure the folks in Greenwood that I live centrally. I am centrally located in the district. I'm 20 minutes from Greenwood, 20 minutes from Anderson, 20 minutes from Powdersville, and 20 minutes from the Star Iowa area. And if Senator O'Dell taught me one thing in the 10 years that I served with him, is that when you're elected, you represent everybody, and you do it in an equal and an equitable fashion.
That's right.
I'd like to ask you to vote for Mike Gambrill tomorrow for State Senate seat 4.
That's right. So I guess that how has been this experience? I saw on your Facebook page you've been meeting with everybody. You got the endorsement of the NRA. You've been out there being pretty busy.
Yes, ma'am. I guess I'm born a generation too late. I believe you need to get out in front of people and meet them and see them and hear their concerns and tell them hear what they're thinking. And that's the way I've always run my races, and I've always run an above board race. I won't get negative. If I've got to get negative, I'll just lose. But I've tried to carry myself that way. And like I say, it's been fun. We've met a lot of new people, especially a lot of new friends in the Greenwood area. And like I say, the thing I want to press to the Greenwood folks is, if you elect me tomorrow on March 22nd to the State Senate, you'll see no drop-off in representation.
Well, thank you, Representative Mike Gambrill. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Ann. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.